May I say it's lovely to be back again this evening and to have the opportunity of worshipping with you. And a big thank you again, as Richard was saying, to the Presbytery Choir for coming and singing for us. I know they're singing for the glory of God, but they've come and they have presented their messages in song, and we thank them for that. Last time I heard you was in South Armagh. You were down in Mount Norris singing one night, and we enjoyed you then, and again this evening we have enjoyed you, and thank you for the part that you've played in worship. You know, I'm sure as you look back over your life tonight, you can think of a person or persons who have influenced you. I was telling you on Sunday night that I grew up in Armagh and went to the Mall Presbyterian Church. And there were two people there who influenced me greatly. One was the teacher of the senior boys' Sunday school class, and the other was the Bible class leader. Now, neither of these men had any professional training in teaching. One was an ex-RAF man, the other was a farmer. But you know, to come into their presence, you realize that here were men who were committed to Jesus Christ. And here were men who showed you how you ought to walk in life. I owe a tremendous lot to those two men for the ways in which they taught us the Word of God and for the example they set. And when we read from 1 John this evening, John is looking back and he's thinking of someone who has had a powerful influence on his life. What he says to us, I'm thinking of someone whom I have seen, someone whom I've heard, someone whom I've actually reached out and touched. The Word of Life. What an experience he had. Just to sit at the feet of Jesus Christ, to hear him preach, and to see him as he went around ministering to people. And what we want to do tonight is this. We want to think about what John learned through the ministry of our Savior. Looking at his epistles and looking at the gospel. The first thing that John learned was this. He learned of Christ's love. He actually says in 1:48 in John, he says that God is love. And remember that John was with Christ from the beginning. He was watching, he was observing everything that the Savior did. Now there are some of us, and we're very good at talking about love. Some of us may be very good about writing about love. But Christ personified love. He was love in the flesh. And as we read about him in the Gospels, we find that wherever he went, he was showing men and women love. He had a love for the untouchables. There were many people in Christ's day who were untouchable, especially the lepers. People wouldn't go near them because they thought the disease was contagious. And what happened was those lepers had to live in a colony. They were separated from their families, separated from their church, separated from their friends. And wherever a leper went, he took with him a little bell and he rang that bell so that no one would come near him. And yet when Jesus Christ saw a leper, what did he do? He went to that leper and he reached out and he touched him and he healed him. Because the Savior whom I worship and the Savior whom I serve this evening is one who reaches out to what many of us would say are the untouchables. But not only does he love the untouchables, but he loves the misfits. Many misfits in our society today, as there were in the days of Jesus Christ. We think of that occasion that he crossed the lake and he came to the Gadarene country. And there was a cemetery there. And there was a man in that cemetery who was a misfit. He just didn't fit into society. We're told that he was naked. We're told that there were chains on his legs. We're told that there were marks on his body where he had reached down for stones and he had cut himself. He was a misfit. But Jesus went to that man and he realized what his problem was. He realized that there were evil spirits in that man destroying him. And what did he do? He delivered that man. He sent the evil spirits out of him. And he delivered him. What happened to the misfit? What was he like when he left Jesus Christ? We're told this. He was clothed and he was in his right mind. And he went back to his home to minister to those who lived in his locality. What a transformation in a misfit. Or we think again of how Christ was outside the town of Sychar. And you know, he had sent the disciples into the town in order that they might purchase some provisions. It's midday. Sun's burning down. And Christ is by a well that there was there. And he sees someone coming towards him. A woman. He wonders to himself, why is she coming at midday? Women always came to the wells first thing in the morning when it was cool. But here was a woman coming at midday. Now why? Because she was a misfit. You see, there were people in the town and they didn't want to be near her. They didn't want to be in her company and she had to be alone. And why did they not want to be in her company? Because of what she was doing. She had been the wife of five husbands. And the man that she was living with was not her husband. She was a social outcast, a misfit. And they would have nothing to do with her. Strange thing is this, that Jesus Christ, for the first time in his ministry, declares to that misfit that he is the Messiah. And he tells her that if she drinks of the water in the well, she'll thirst again. But he says, if you drink of the water which I will give you, you will never thirst. And you know that's exactly what she did. You remember what happens? Now she goes back into the town. No longer is she a social outcast, but as she begins to speak to those in the town, she says, come with me. And hear this man who has told me these things. And they do. Maybe you're a misfit tonight. Maybe you are. In your family, in society, you're a misfit. Will you remember this, that Jesus Christ loves you as he loved that misfit? Then he loved children, didn't he? You remember that occasion when, you know, the mothers are coming and they're bringing children to him. And the disciples didn't really like it. And they kept the mothers away with their children. What did Jesus say? Suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. And he took them up in his hands and he blessed them. Why? Because he loved them. What a thrill. You're here tonight, and may I say this on the authority of God's word, that Christ loves you as an individual. Whatever your past might have been, whatever you are at present, Jesus Christ loves you. What did John write? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Whosoever includes you, and it includes me. That's amazing. That God loved me with all the faults, with the sins that I had. He loved me enough to bring me to Jesus Christ and have my sins blotted out. And that's what he wants to do for you. What a thrill it is to be able to say with the Apostle Paul, the Son of God loved me and he gave himself for me. Can you say that tonight? And say it from the heart. As John looked back, he thought of the love of Jesus Christ. Then again, as John looked back on the ministry of Christ, he thought of the wonder of forgiveness. You know, he was with a Savior who forgave people. He was there that day that a woman who had been taken in the very act of adultery was brought before Jesus Christ. And the men who brought that woman said to Jesus, "What are we to do with her?" And they wanted Jesus to say that she was to be stoned, because that is what their law said. And Jesus Christ, we are told, he knelt down and with his finger he wrote something on the sand. We don't know what it was. We'll never know what it was. Then he stands up. And looking at those men who had brought the woman, he said to them, "Let him that is without sin amongst you cast the first stone." Do you remember what happened? The men left. And then Jesus looked at this woman and he said to her, "Your sins are forgiven. Go and sin no more." What a Savior. Ready to forgive someone who was taken in the very act of adultery. Ready to forgive her. We see that same forgiveness, don't we? On the cross. Jesus Christ is on that cross. And he still can see. And he's looking down. And who does he see? He sees the leaders of Jewry who have put him there. They have hired false witnesses to accuse him. He sees the soldiers who have driven the nails into his hands and planted that crown of thorns on his head. He sees them there. He sees some people who have spat upon him, some people who have beaten him with reeds. They're there. And what does Christ say? "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." I tell you, that makes you think, doesn't it? What a forgiving Savior, ready to forgive those who had caused him so much harm. He's ready, too, to forgive the follower who has let him down. You remember Peter? When Jesus was going into the judgment hall, oh, proud Peter had said that he would follow Jesus wherever he went. He would stand up for him. But when he was questioned, you remember, he said he had nothing to do with Jesus. 3 times he denied him. 3rd time with oaths and with curses. Time passes. And Jesus Christ has risen from the dead. And he's gone to the lakeside. And he looks out and he can see a boat. And he knows that Peter's in that boat. And he asks them to come in, and they do. And he has breakfast ready for them. And after they share in the breakfast meal, he turns to Peter and he said, "Peter, will you come aside for a time?" He takes Peter aside. You remember what he does? He says, "Peter, I want to ask you a very important question. Do you love me?" "I do." "Do you love me?" "I do." "Do you love me?" Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. What does Jesus say? Feed my lambs. Feed my sheep. I tell you this, the Son of God would never have said, feed my lambs and feed my sheep, if he hadn't forgiven Peter. But he forgave him. Is there a Christian here tonight? And there's something in your life that needs to be forgiven? What a Savior we have. What a Savior we have. Oh, as John looks back, he thinks of the forgiveness that Christ can extend to any man or woman. As John looks back, he thinks of something else. He thinks of the power that Christ had. You know, John was with Jesus Christ in the boat. And you remember what happened? There they were sailing along when suddenly a storm blows up. And it's an awful storm. And those men who had sailed on that sea for years, they were frightened. They were terrified. Jesus is sleeping. And they say to him, listen, do you not care if we perish? And Jesus simply says three words, peace be still. And they see the power of God at work. Immediately, that's what Scripture says, immediately the wind stopped and the waves fell. That's power. That to me is one of the most wonderful miracles that Jesus Christ ever did. Power over nature. Oh, we see it again, don't we? When he comes to Bethany and the man's dead. He's in a tomb. He's been in that tomb for 4 days. Jesus stands there. He says to someone, will you roll away the stone? The stone is rolled away. And then Jesus Christ, the Son of God, prays. And after he has prayed, he says, Lazarus, come forth. And the man who had been dead 4 days came out of the tomb, still in the grave clothes. But he's alive. Brought back to life by the Son of God. What power. I want to say this tonight very clearly. That the Son of God has power to change any individual in this meeting house. He has the power to make you a child of God if you're not already a child of God. That's amazing. That's what he can do. I don't know that you watch or have watched a program on television where Kilroy Silk interviewed people. Some years ago, he was interviewing a lady called Mary. And what people whom he interviewed did, they told their story. Mary told of how she had lived with a man. She wasn't his wife, but she had lived with him. And they seemed to be very happy together. Then one day this man left her. And within a very short time, she discovered that the man had married another woman. And while he'd been living with her, he'd been having an affair. And she was angry. And what did she do? She went out to a hardware shop. And she bought a hammer. She put it into a bag and she brought it back home. Why did she buy the hammer? She said this, the first time he came into my home, I'm going to maim him. I'm going to hit him about the face and the head, and no woman in the world will ever want him. Then Kilroy Silk said to her, but Mary, you didn't do it, did you? And she said, no, it didn't. Kilroy Silk said to her, and why? Why did you not do it? And Mary said, I became a Christian. I became a Christian. And Christ gave me new values. What a change. What a change.
someone in the meeting house tonight. You know, when you think you can't be changed, let me tell you that you can. The Son of God can change any of us. Make us children of God, and sometimes it'll change how we think and how we act. Isn't that wonderful? He's part of change. Then secondly, he is part of keep. You know, I've talked to a good many Christians and a good many un-Christians down through the years. Sometimes when I talk to people who are not converted and they want to come to the Lord Jesus Christ, they'll say to me, "Listen, I couldn't keep it. I know I couldn't keep it. I'm not strong enough." And I say tonight this, there's not one of us could keep it. But the wonderful thing is this, he can keep us. Remember what the hymn writer said, "He will keep me till the river rolls its waters at my feet." He can keep you. Ever heard of C.I. Schofield? C.I. Schofield was a lawyer in the States. Brilliant lawyer, young man, fantastic mind, but he had a problem. His problem was drink. Began to drink heavily, and because of his drinking, the business began to go down. C.I. Schofield realized that he needed to do something. The Lord spoke to him, and C.I. Schofield gave his life to the Savior, was born again. But what he says to us is this: "After giving my life to Christ, I wondered if the Savior could keep me from drinking." He goes on to say, "One week after my conversion, I walked down the street in St. Louis, and there was a window there, and I looked into it, and I saw paintings. And one painting was of Daniel in the lion's den. And as I stood looking into that window and looking at Daniel, it was as if God spoke to me and said, if I could keep Daniel in the lion's den, I could keep you from drinking." And he did. Never touched another drink. C.I. Schofield became a wonderful Bible scholar. Some of you may have, maybe at home, the Schofield Bible. And he was responsible for leading many to Jesus Christ. You see, God convinced him that he could keep him, and he did. Have you that worry tonight? If I decide for Jesus Christ at that mission, can I really keep it up? I tell you, you can't. But he can keep you. And he can present you in the end faultless before his Father's throne. What a thrill. What a Savior. He loves us. He can forgive us. And he will keep us if we yield to him. Friends, have you? Have you? Have you knelt before the cross and said, "Lord, thank you for dying for me"? And in these moments, I open my heart to you and I ask you to come in, to remake me, and to bring me into your family. You do it? Don't wait. Just about 5 years before retiring, took a service, a funeral service in Mourne. After the funeral service, I go into the minister's room, or did go into the minister's room, and I wrote about the person who had died in a book, just saying where he was buried, what his name was and address was. And I was just writing this when I heard a knock at the door. The man who was 70 years old came through that door. And he said, "Mr. McGahey, can I have a word with you?" They said, you can. And he said, listen, God has spoken to me, and I want to become a Christian. And we had the joy of leading him that day to the Lord. I met him a number of times after that. I remember saying to him, you know, have you any regrets? And I could still hear him saying to me, I've only one regret. And that is that I didn't come to the Lord sooner. Is God calling you? God speaking to you? He loves you. He can forgive you. And he can keep you. Will you come to him tonight? Don't leave it off. Will you come to him tonight? And will you be born again of the Spirit of God? Let's pray. Father, we bow before you in these moments, and we thank you for your presence with us and for the work of the Spirit in our hearts. We simply ask tonight that you will give us deciding grace. Grant that we may come to that place where we will indeed invite Christ into our lives and make him ours. Oh, Father, give us in these moments the humility that we need, even to bow before you, acknowledging our sin, and asking you to come into our lives. We pray this in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen.